So, Alex, you made the trip up to Richmond, and the reason we know that is at one point you made national television. So
That's exciting and horrifying at the same time.
my question is, and this really is a question more for, I think, our fans than it is for you, is did you expect Alex to be as grumpy looking as he was, or were you su expecting a smile since we had already scored by the time they put him on the screen?
Soccer chat with two T's because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words. And Chattanooga is a soccer city.
Welcome to Soccer Chat, almost as exciting as a lawsuit about a wooden door.
Wait,
That's
what?
a deep inside joke that some of our fans will get, and everyone else will be as confused as you are.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Sounds good. All right, so Alex, we're going to open up really for me to just kind of ask you a couple questions real quick before we get into the game. Tell us a little bit about the atmosphere there at the stadium, how accommodating the fans were. Just what was the experience overall like traveling to Richmond for the semifinal?
I would recommend, if you're going to take a trip to Richmond to see the Red Wolves play, try to find a way to make it a 3-day weekend, because good golly, that's a long drive to have to then turn around the next day and make it again to come home. But great town. The city stadium, you could tell it's a very old stadium, but it's in good shape. All the amenities and everything that was there is in good shape. And it's in this fantastic neighborhood. We walked about 5 or 6 blocks to Carey Street, which is something, and I don't want to mean this as a dig at Chattanooga, but it's kind of what I think Main Street in Chattanooga is aspiring to be. So it's this really awesome strip of road that's just got tons of restaurants and shops that you walk up and down. And Main Street, as they're adding to it, is going that direction. But this was just, it had already been established. You could tell it's been there for a long time. Had a delicious burger from Carytown Burgers and Fries, which is 2 doors down from Garden Grove Brewing, where we met and had some beers. All of that a 10-minute walk from the stadium. So it was a really cool pregame atmosphere. Everywhere we went, we're all wearing our Red Wolves gear, and everyone's talking about how they're Kickers fans.
Oh, cool.
Politely ribbing back and forth, great service, nothing like that. Didn't have a burger for a cop, if you know what I mean. At least not that I could tell. It was a delicious burger. And then the stadium itself too, the staff really professional on their game, very welcoming. Had a chance to chat pregame with Elliot Barr from the River City 93 and the Walkin' 90 podcasts. So all of them were really nice. There's always a couple fans that are not nice, but in general, the large majority, the 99.9%, were incredibly friendly. There was one point where we started a "Let's Go Red Wolves" chant that then they counter-programmed and started chanting "Let's Go Kickers" to drown us out. But in general, everyone really nice, and we had a good time. And so yeah, it's a great stadium. It's bigger than CHI. You're a little further away from the field because of how, I mean, it's like it was built like a big bowl for the football stadium, and still really good time.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's what you want the home fans to do, right? The away fans are there, they're making their cheer. You want the home fans to actually drown them out. That's kind of the exact opposite of what happened in Greenville, where because only their supporters seem to make a noise in Greenville, maybe it's changed this year, but that was last year. We were able to really be loud there, and to the point where they were getting upset that we were being loud, which was funny. So I'm glad to hear Richmond was accommodating and all that good stuff. So let's just get right into the game then, shall we?
So the game starts, and First of all, I would like to say 6 p.m. kickoff is just ridiculous. You're trying to figure out how to do dinner, get to the game. It was really annoying. But other than that,
hold on. From a person watching from home, it was wonderful because I have a child that I did not want up until 10:30 at night and then having to calm him down. And if it went into extra time, all that stuff, I would much rather 6 o'clock, game's over at 8. I get his normal bedtime. So from a parent of a child with an 8:30 bedtime, I was very happy.
So game starts fairly early in the game. There is obvious controversy, stuff that people have talked about. Emiliano, well, so a shot gets put on goal, bounces off of Carlos Avila's chest, and as he's trying to kind of regather and scoop it up, Emiliano Terzaghi comes through. Contact is made. No penalties given. Adam, what did you think about that early call and the fact that no PK was given to the kickers in that spot?
So here's what has to happen there. One of two things. That either needs to be a yellow for simulation, or that's a PK. It's not neither. Right?
Right.
Now, I actually, and I know this will piss off any Richmond fan that chooses to listen, I think it's a yellow for simulation. I do not think the way in which he jumped away,
right,
was any way, shape, or form associated with the contact that was made. Was contact made? Yes. But contact can be made without it being a yellow for simulation and without it being a foul, which is what would have happened if the player didn't try to get a foul out of it. He's attempting to trick the ref into giving him a penalty. That's a yellow for simulation. That was not a penalty shot.
So I think a lot of us would be upset if we see that play and don't have a penalty given to the Chattanooga Red Wolves. But I'm with you in that he's already diving to the ground. It's something that I've given Emiliano Terzaghi grief for in the past.
You mean three-time MVP?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and their other one, who we'll talk about here in a little bit, the young player of the year, who the only memories I seem to have of him are, again, hamming it up to win a PK against Rafa, and then this play that we'll talk about in a little bit, doesn't seem to be involved with what's actually happening on the field with play going on. It's about trying to draw the referees into stuff. And there's a lot of that happens in League One, and it bothers me. We've talked about our own Red Wolves players and how they go down too easily. We want to see them fight through. We want to watch soccer be played, not turn this into some lawyerly discussion. So I'm with you. The fact that there was no penalty, if they had given it, I don't think I would have been shocked. If they didn't give it to a Red Wolf player, I would also not be shocked. And the big thing to me is not everyone, but you're seeing stuff, people talking about this controversial and how it swung the game. It was like the 12th minute of the match.
Correct.
They later on had almost 50, 55 minutes with an extra man as the number one seed at home in front of their fans. You're the best team in the league, and you're three-time MVP and Golden Boot winner.
Alex, I hate to do this to you, but I need to make a quick stop here. Hold on one second.
The suspense is terrible. I hope it will last.
It very well may.
Thank you, gentlemen. What can you feed it in?
Yeah, I made an app order for Adam.
You had a microwave bar for the potato bean burrito, chicken chipotle supreme, chicken chili supreme, and large on there.
Yep.
You can go with the second one.
That was comic gold. I hope you heard it. Continue.
I hope that gets us the USL award for best podcast.
It's got to, right?
That's the reel we send in. Anyway, almost 50 minutes and they can't break through with a man advantage. I don't want to hear any excuses about how that penalty not being called swung the game.
No, I mean, did it have an effect on the game? Obviously, because more than likely, if he gets the penalty, he's going to put it away. More than likely, right? A 1-0 lead for that team is significant because, as we talked about prior to the game, like they always seem to score one goal, giving them a one goal that early, significant. And then if what happens later still happens, then the game's pretty much over. So I get why they say it swung it, but it only swung it because of what happens later in the game.
So let's talk about what happens later. Play at midfield, David Teixeira goes in. According to commentators, he hits his cleat goes onto the player's leg up above the shoe and is shown an automatic red card. What did you think of the call?
That's not a red card. If that type of leaning in, if you're running from 10, 15 yards away, maybe you can make the argument for a red card. From 3 feet away when the ball was just at your feet, that's not a red card. That's you're just fighting for a ball and you stuck your foot out a little too far. Maybe a yellow card, definitely a foul, but a straight red in the 35th minute when he's been involved in almost no other plays. No, it's bad. Right. It's USL League One ref who was terrible all night, doesn't calling a lot of stuff up to that point, overreacting.
He looked incredibly panicked that whole game. He looked like if a weekend on a Saturday morning when the kids are all hungry, all of a sudden your wife tells you she's sick and now Adam is stuck trying to make breakfast for three kids and the dogs. It was that kind of like panic in his eyes on the field. And he went to that red card so fast, it was almost as if he was making up for the fact that he didn't give the penalty that all the kickers were screaming at him about since the time that contact happened. It was with no hesitation. He didn't stop to think, hey, what did you see? Yeah. And I went back and watched the replay on ESPN Plus on my phone when that happened. It was exactly like you said. It's maybe a yellow because I don't think he actually makes contact with the player's leg. His foot comes down, I think, on top of the guy's boot, but it's not like it's a decided stomp. And so it was really frustrating to have the player go out, especially a player, a really important attacking player like David Teixeira. And that really, really changed how we approached the game.
Well, it had to, right? I mean,
right.
I think it really pretty much took out two players with one takeout, because at that point, that meant that our top scorer really didn't have a place he could come on.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only did we lose a player that I think we both felt would have had an impact on the game if he stays in the full game. I think you get him for another 30 minutes, I think he eventually gets an opportunity to take a realistic shot at goal.
Mm-hmm.
And not only lose him, but you really lose Galindres at the same time, because you can't bring a player like Galindres in on a 10-man team that's playing a defensive set.
Yeah. And in a way, I think it's kind of funny in that what we've seen all year, what Richmond likes to do is keep the ball in the back, draw players, try to stretch the other team, and then hit them with a counter with their speedy players. And when we went down to 10 men, it's almost as if that hurt their style, because we had to bunker in a playoff game on the road in a scoreless game. We had to bunker in, make sure that we stayed organized. They couldn't play the ball around the back and try to draw us in order to hit us on a counterattack. And so it almost was to their disadvantage that we got a red card and ended up shorthanded in that situation.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there, but that's almost an indictment on our coaching staff that it took a red card to get us in the right formation to make them struggle. Like, if that's really the case, why are we not playing with two up top for kicking over top of them? And if that strategy would have worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much I buy into that. Like, I hear that a lot in like other scenarios, like it force us to be more defensive, which helps us out. I've heard, those type of arguments get made, for other teams that I follow as well. And I'm always like, well, if that would have worked, wouldn't have that worked with one more guy? like, why weren't we doing that with an extra player to kick it up to? Like, I don't know. But,
well, to me, it's not the us counterattacking. It's the fact that we didn't allow ourselves to get stretched defensively.
Yeah.
You know, double down defensively because we knew we were shorthanded. And, you know, what we saw all season was times where, you know, we lost our focus for just a split second and teams would punish us. And we, you know, and that you have a point that, of course, it's the playoffs, it's the semifinals. These guys are really wanting to make an impact. And so they probably were very focused defensively, whether there's 11 men or 10 men on the field. But that's definitely what I saw happening in the second half. Great defensive organization, great one-on-one defending by players like DJ Benton and, of course, Mel and Navarro. Carrera Garcia having to essentially play one and a half, him and Jimmy Villalobos running through the midfield, picking up the slack for the missing midfielder when they made the change at halftime for Alex Tejera. That they really came out and fought and battled being down the man. And then, of course, Rafa and his wonder strike.
Well, and going back to that red card, I do want to mention, as much as I didn't think it was a red card, I also don't think there's an angle that ESPN Plus picks up that allows us to get that overturned. So right. That also means that we don't have him for the final. So this crappy ref ruined two games, as far as I'm concerned.
Who are you kidding? There's no way that would get overturned by the league. They don't overturn Red Bulls red cards.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you that. But at the same time, it's where, like, it's frustrating, right? Like, he was bad all night. And I honestly think there were other calls that he didn't call against us that should have been fouls that gave them free kicks that they didn't get later in the game. So that I think not only do we, you know, obviously they've got the penalty that we don't agree really was a penalty, we think was a dive. But they've got the penalty to be upset about, but they've got other fouls to be upset about. We've got other fouls to be upset about. This ref legitimately was just bad. Like
he gave 6 minutes of stoppage time to the 6 minutes of stoppage time.
Oh, at the end of the game?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I did do this. I did go back and rewatch it and pull out my stopwatch for all the time wasting that we did. And first off, let me just say this. We've got to stop time wasting and extra time. We've done this multiple times.
Right. Right.
Because right. Red Bull, because USL League One refs do not know how just simple logic works, right? So if it's a 6 minutes of extra time and any gameplay is played, you can't have six more extra minutes of extra time. That's not how math works, right? Like, you can't say that shots were taken and the balls went out of bounds and all those things that happened, and you got an additional 6 minutes of time that was wasted in that 6 minutes. That's impossible. But that's what happened, right? Like, I went and counted it. It was 2 minutes and 12 seconds total of time wasting. That's it. Not four, not five, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And he had the ball go into their zone or out of bounds three times after that additional 2 minutes was over. If we had gotten scored on, I don't know how I would keep my shit right now. I mean, honestly, if they had scored on that final run through that they had, that honestly was an amazing, amazing play to save it from being scored on by our defender.
Yeah.
If they scored there, I would have been livid because it was because the ref just did not want us to win. He was just like, no, I can't. I can justify this, right? I can justify the game going on for another half, right? Because that's what it felt like. Really?
Well, that would explain the face that you saw on the television. Because that was pretty much when that was happening. So we talked about, you know, coming in the second half, being a man down. Very good defending, defensive plays, some good chances, not just from Rafa Mentzigan. Aaron Lombardi had a shot that was just over the bar on a great drive by him, as well as a couple other opportunities.
I will say this, Tejera, is that how you pronounce it? I never pronounce his name correct. Uh-huh. He had a shot that my son was like, oh, that was a terrible shot. And I was like, actually, it wasn't, where he tried to cut it with his left foot to hook it, and he just didn't get it far enough over. But the curve that ball had, if he had actually shot it about 10 feet further to the right, it would have curved in that far net. Like, it would, he read Fitzy correctly and just missed the shot. But it was a perfect read of Fitzgerald. Like, Fitzgerald was screwed if he hit the shot like he was trying to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another opportunity. Like, we had opportunities. It wasn't just one thing that just miracle shot. Like, I didn't get it. Like, when that goal happened, it wasn't like I was shocked that we had a chance. Like, granted, we did sit back for the majority of it, but you're right. There was three or four chances that before that even happened where we could have taken the lead.
So I have a distinct memory of the ball being played out wide to Rafa and seeing there was a previous play where Rafa had the ball in the same spot and there were four Richmond kicker defenders around him. And this ball came out and I see that he has one player coming to defend him. And I believe under my breath, I said, "Oh God." And he cut back and he hit the ball and it went curving to a fully outstretched Fitzy. And I saw the net jiggle. And I just, in my mind, was like, I need to see the ball clearly in the net because I can't believe good things like this can happen to me. And I finally saw it, and it was elation. And all of the fans around us, so there was, of course, the super fans. Kay and Brian made the trip. All the boys from the ticket office got a chance to make the trip up. Other people from the front office. As the game went on, more fans that were sitting in other sections saw and heard us and came over. So Alex Tejera's family had driven down from New York. His brothers look like they're his brothers. They have the same facial features. They came, started to sit with us. Fabio Hernandez's wife and mother were there. Anyway, a whole bunch of people in that section, and we were going crazy. It was electric. What did it look like watching on TV?
Well, first off, you guys looked great. Everybody was excited except for you. Just kind of standing there, grumpy Alex.
I'm wearing the This Is Just My Face shirt today.
Yeah,
so
it's excellent because that's exactly, I like, when they panned over, I was like, of course that's what he looks like. Of course. Like, there's your beautiful wife standing there with a big smile on her face. You know, and then you've got Kay and Brian behind you. They've got huge smiles on their faces. And then there's you just kind of like looking like the dude from that that meme of the guy who's like got his hands on his hips angry. And you're like, what? You just won, Alec. We won the game. We didn't lose. We won. It was a good 8-hour drive. But anyways, so what's crazy is, you know, you may have rewatched on ESPN, but the goal wasn't captured well. It went in. But I still don't know how it went in. Like, from that angle, how did he get it past Fitzgerald? Like, I just – how much curve did he have on it? Like, I just – from being there live, like, could you see it curve?
Oh, yeah. The net? Oh, yeah. It was – yeah. You know, like a pitcher throwing a curveball, it had that sort of bend on it.
Wow. Yeah, and he usually hits that shot from the other side.
Right.
And so to see him hitting it from that side, that was just – amazing. And you know, to see them come celebrate with you guys after the game, just overall just a really, really cool thing. And I don't know what else you want to say about that game. I think we kind of covered everything on that, and really what we really need to get into is this preview of what's coming up on Sunday.
So Tormenta also on the road ends up beating Greenville. Kind of a surprise victory in my mind. I would have expected Greenville, a good team at home, even with all the respect for Tormenta, I would have expected Greenville to come away with this victory, but apparently not. And so we are going to be going down to Statesboro. The team has already made the trip. Their bus left this afternoon. We're recording this on Friday. Team bus left this afternoon. Lots of folks making the trip down. If you are, the team is planning a tailgate. So be looking at social media for details, but there's going to be a big Red Wolves tailgate. And everyone's going to show old Bolt the Ibis how Red Wolves fans travel, especially for a championship game, and hopefully turn this stadium into a home stadium for the guys.
Yeah, I really wish I could travel down. Unfortunately, my son's playing in a tournament in Knoxville, and if he makes the championship game, which – you know, there's no guarantee of that, obviously, but they haven't lost a game all year, so feel like it's a pretty good shot that they'll be one of the top two teams. That game doesn't start until 3:40. So I don't have a private jet to get me from Knoxville at 5 o'clock to Statesboro by 7:30. So I will be catching the game, hopefully with a lot of other people that aren't able to make it down at CHI Memorial Stadium, where they will also be hosting a free watch party on the big screen. If you bring blankets, you can sit on the camera, but and it's going to have, you know, free entry, no parking fee. I think beer will be sold, so that should be a fun event for those that don't make it down. So they're covering on both ends, which is nice.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And if you're antisocial like me and you don't want to do any of that, the game is actually on ESPN2. This is not going to be a game on the ESPN Plus streaming service, but it's going to be over the air. I've heard some people talking about going to a Buffalo Wild Wings to have it on TV. There's a decent chance that a lot of other bars and restaurants around town will be having this game because it's going to be on regular over the air television.
And there is a bar that has already announced they're going to have it on their TV that's off of behind the firehouse on Main Street there. And my mind is blanking the name of the brew house. But if you're on the Red Wolves fan page, they've posted information about that there, along with the posting about the...
Is that the fountain? It's the Fountainhead. The Fountainhead Tap Room, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So we know for that one for sure. So if you live in the downtown area and want to go hang out with some people at a bar, that's a great place there. They've already said they'll have the game on. So you'll have some options for sure. The city ain't doing anything, but the county did wish us luck today on the social media. So that was nice to see the county, Hamilton County, wishing the Chattanooga representative in the League One final. So there is some buzz and some information being out there. It's been covered by the news, not just the normal only News Channel 3. It's also, you know, the other two news channels that are in CFC's pocket will actually acknowledge that we exist now. So that's kind of nice.
Is nice of them.
Yeah, it's nice of them to realize that there are two teams in here, which, you know, is the case. And you guys need to grow up and realize it and start covering both teams because they're not going anywhere. So let's get to the actual game and what we can expect. Is this going to be a repeat of what we saw prior to the playoffs, or do we expect a completely different type of setup by our team?
I don't think you're going to see an entirely different setup. I do think you're going to see an entirely different approach from the players. So there was an interesting confluence of events. From what I heard, the team in the last game of the season, of course, last game in the season, we had a 2-0 loss to Tormenta. And that unfortunately dropped us from the possibility of being in second place and this game being here, probably against the Kickers.
It wouldn't be against the Kickers here.
That's a good point. Anyway, we're going to be going to Tormenta partly because of that loss. We ended up finishing in fourth place. They finished in third. They had Georgia Southern had their homecoming senior night whatever football game, and so there were no hotels in the town of Statesboro, and the team had to stay in the area of Savannah and come in on a, you know, fairly long bus ride on the day of the game in order to play the game. The field itself, not in great shape. The stadium is in no way actually in a condition to host a league final. It's a little embarrassing that they've allowed it to be played there. Most of the players didn't make excuses, but talking to them about how that last game went, they are determined. They don't like it. They have a bad taste in their mouth that they went out there and lost to this Tormenta team in that game. They are not going into this championship, we're just happy to be here. It's amazing we made it this far when you think about where we were in the standings. Every single one of them that I've talked to, we after the game finished in Richmond, we went back to the team hotel to greet them in the lobby as they came back from the bus. And so every single one of them had a determination that this is not done. We've got unfinished business. We're going to go to Tormenta and we're going to show these guys who we are. And we're going to bring home a championship for the club.
And that's good to hear, because that explains a lot, because that team did seem flat in that last game. And I wonder, right, will that work to our advantage? And what I mean by that is, do you think the Tormenta players are going to make the mistake of thinking that the team they just played a few weeks ago is the same team that they would be playing this Sunday?
I would hope their coach Ian Cameron is professional and smart enough to have watched these last two matches that we played against Omaha and Richmond and realize, be talking to his players, that this is not the same team that you guys faced at the end of the year, and you better bring a full effort. But you never know. There may be a chance where some of them are probably a little excited. You know, they're I'm sure riding high on the fact that they went to Greenville and won a game on the road to be able to host the final in front of their tens of fans. And so they could come with a little bit of a attitude that says, you know, we've beaten these guys twice here and we're going to be able to do it again.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what you are expecting from this team when they take the field. You say you don't expect much change. Who do you think starts up top? Do we see Galindrez coming back off the bench and starting, or do you think we go with someone else to take the role that David Teixeira took?
I think maybe we see Alex Teixeira get the start and we have Juan Galindrez come in at halftime. I would not want to wait much longer than 45, 55 minutes into the game to get Galindrez over and get him in. But I think he really is in a better role of coming off that bench, going at the tired defenders, and being able to ice a championship for the team. I feel like that's really the better role for him than starting the match and trying to play a full 90 or trying to play 60 minutes. So that's the one change that I see. Other than that, I really, everyone else has been playing really well that's out there, gave a great effort in that game. And so I think Alex Teixeira coming in for the suspended Teixeira. The only other change that I would say that opens up a spot on the bench, I would love to see someone like Pedro Hernandez, a guy with a lot of energy who could come in and attack this game, have something kind of chip on his shoulder to prove that he's a young player that can make a mark in the league. And so I'd love to see maybe him get a chance to be one of those players on the bench.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he, I'm a huge fan of his. I just don't know a player that hasn't really gotten much time is going to be who you go with on that in right. that spot. I don't think Cordona is going to be back. So I think we're going to see the same back four. I think you're going to see the same player on the bench as well. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I mean, you got to bring someone else, right? It's you've lost a player to the red card, so you're going to bring someone.
Right.
I think Pedro's a good choice, but was Aaron Hernandez on the bench last time? Because he tends to...
Andres, you mean? But no, he was not. He was not with the team in Richmond, and I think that is an interesting idea. Someone who like Wally, who came off the bench, is one of those kind of defensive type players who could maybe come in and help you protect a lead and be able to see a game out.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts that you have about the game? I feel like this team, the news report you talked about, Channel 3, Ben Bobick talked a little bit about Team of Destiny. They feel like they have something to prove, and that excites me. What other thoughts do you have about the game?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a similar type game to what we've seen in the last two playoff games. I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be defensive. I think it's going to come down to really it's going to come down to our keeper, you know, playing a great game. He had some scary points in that game versus Richmond. Balls that he kind of spilled that didn't make sense as to why he was spilling them. And I think it's going to be really important that he shows up and he plays the game that we expect him to be able to play. I think if that happens, we're in a good spot. I think if he shows up, I think we can win this game, but I think it's a close game, a 1-0, a squeaker of a 2-0, like where you're like, wow, I can't believe we got two goals there.
Right.
I do not think this is going to be a blowout for either team. And I like our chances in a tight match with our offensive ability to just play when we need to play.
So I would agree. Fans who were down there for the last game of the season talking about the field, it doesn't seem like one that's set up to be a track meet or to be a blowout. And so I think the Red Wolves show up. It's kind of funny. We're a team who scored the second most goals in the league. We're known for all of the exciting attacking players that we have. We've worked through this playoffs with dogged defending and keeping games close, winning both of them 1-0. And I think that's the sort of thing we're going to see again. I think it's a 2-0. I think we get the lead, and I think we find a way to tack on another when they're throwing the kitchen sink to try and get the game tied and move it to extra time. So,
perfect. All right. Well, we've got our predictions in. My question to you is, are you going to try to make it all the way down there, or what's your plan? Are you watching it from home on ESPN?
My son has told me he's got some friends that he thinks are going to be at CHI. So you've talked about how your son may have to, prior to the game, be playing in the tournament in Knoxville. I, Monday morning, am starting at a new job and trying to drive home from Statesboro at 10:30, 11, not getting home until 4:30, and then trying to go make a good impression to my new boss is probably not the best advice.
No, not so much.
So unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it down to Tormenta, as much as it absolutely kills me. That look that I had on my face on TV, that's pretty much the look that's been on my face all week, because I knew I couldn't make the trip down. But up the Wolves, down with the Ibis, and we'll be watching at CHI.
Yep. All right. Well, on that note, I think we can just go ahead and say
bye.
Hey, that worked out well. No one had to see my ugly face.